Chapter 4. Crazy Train. Ozzy Osbourne, 1980. Eddie's learned a lot about Chrissy Cunningham in the past few hours. He's started making a list. 1. She has a great laugh. 2. She remembers the name of his band. 3. She has the biggest, prettiest eyes this side of a Disney flick. 4. The smell of her hair actually makes him want to say, "Gee, your hair smells terrific," like in the stupid commercials. 5. She is fucking cursed. Whatever happened to Chrissy, the floating thing? It's a curse. Chrissy Cunningham is cursed. And still in Eddie's trailer. And now Dustin Henderson, Eddie's favorite freshman, and Max Mayfield, the redhead from across the way, are in the mix too. With fucking Steve the Hare Harrington and some chick named Robin Eddie thinks might be in marching band thrown in for good measure. It had been Max banging at the door. She had seen them arrive in Eddie's van, saw the lights go weird in the trailer, heard Eddie shouting Chrissy's name. She nearly broke the shitty trailer door down, demanding to be let in to make sure Chrissy was okay. The girls sort of knew each other, which was a surprise. Eddie isn't sure if he should be offended, knowing now that he's not the only freak Chrissy has befriended. Are they friends now? Doesn't matter. Chrissy knows Max, Max knows Chrissy. Kinda. Max also knows Dustin. After busting into Eddie's home, Max had a very quick, very weird conversation with Chrissy before whipping out a gigantic handheld radio. "What the fuck?" Eddie had asked. Max looked at him like he was a fucking idiot. "We need reinforcements, duh." And now they're all in Eddie's trailer because apparently they've been dealing with some straight-up guyjack shit for, years now. All the weird stuff that happens in Hawkins, it's because of some lab and someone named Eleven and a Demogorgon and a mind flare. And Eddie thinks he's going to need something a lot stronger than the 7-Up he is sipping if he's going to make it through tonight. Max and Chrissy are on his couch, talking about actual real monster manual shit. Dustin is at Eddie's shoulder in the kitchen, explaining some alternate dimension called the Upside Down, while Robin pokes around Wayne's record collection. Steve is trying to look cool, leaning against the doorframe. And, yeah, Eddie is pretty sure he had gone fully round the bend. There's a part of him, a very big part, that has been freaking the fuck out for the past hour or so. In his brain, there's a little Eddie who started screaming and crying and shitting himself the moment he saw Chrissy standing frozen in his living room because, what the fuck, man? What the fuck? When she hit the ceiling, Eddie was pretty sure Chrissy was dead. There was just nothing there. No response. No sentience. No nothing. Eddie is ashamed to admit, even to himself, that when he couldn't get her down, he had thought about just running away. Hightailing it out of the trailer and the town and the fucking country. And then she fell. She screamed. She was alive. Eddie couldn't leave her. He'd gone to her, and she'd said his name like it was a healing spell, like he could put her bones back together and make everything okay. When he tried to get up to get her some actual help, she'd held him back. "Please don't go," she'd said, like in the woods. "I don't want you to go." No one ever wanted Eddie around. Not really. They wanted his drugs or his music or his games, but not him. But Chrissy did. Her terror, her pain, and her trust had shut that little screaming Eddie in his brain right up. And when she'd crawled into him as the pounding started on the door, like he could protect her from whatever was out there, like she trusted him with her life, Eddie thought he understood what Prince was talking about in the song that had saved her. Which is stupid, but so is Eddie. All his teachers say so. He looks over at Chrissy now. It's obvious she's struggling. Her hair, released from its ponytail, hangs limp, and there's blood from her nose, from his hand, on the long ends of her bangs. Her skin is waxy, and her eyes are sunken. They're starting to purple, like she's been sucker-punched. And she's still shaking. Eddie is shaking, too, a little. He wants to hold her again, to have her arms... arm, you asshole, she's hurt, around him. It had felt good holding her. Being held. Eddie doesn't get many hugs. It was... nice. Weird. Nice weird. For better or worse, Eddie was going to remember that nice weird embrace for the rest of his life. Failing another magical hug from a cursed cheerleader, Eddie wouldn't mind a blunt or a drink or something to calm his nerves. Not Chrissy, though. Chrissy, it turned out, was stubborn. And maybe a tank. Because if Eddie's arm looked like that, he would be popping pills like candy. Chrissy had come to his trailer tonight to buy ketamine, but now she solidly refused anything he offered her. No Percocet, no Vicodin, not even some stupid aspirin. "I've got to go to the hospital," she said. Max had rolled her eyes like this was obvious, which it was, which is why Eddie had wanted to call 911 in the first place. "But I can't call anyone from here," the blonde continued. "And I can't have any drugs or anything in my system, or it'll all get traced back to you, Eddie." Chrissy has these big fucking eyes, bluer than the sky, and they were doing that thing again. Not the freaky whiteout seizure thing, the big Bambi thing. The thing that had gotten him at the middle school talent show. The thing that made him want to give her discounts and touch her face and burn weed-like offerings at her shrine or some shit. The thing that makes Eddie feel like she really sees him. His heart has been racing pretty much nonstop since he found her like a statue in his living room. But this thudding is different. More dangerous. It feels like someone cut the brake lines of his brain. "She's right," Dustin had said, agreeing about the drug thing. "People will think you, I don't know, ran her over or something." Max and Robin nodded along like little dashboard bobbleheads. They had a point. People in Hawkins would be eager to blame the freak for anything that happened to the Queen, and Eddie's bitter feelings about that were their own whole thing that he could deal with, or not, later. Now, Eddie feels a little like a creep, leaning against the fridge and watching Chrissy while he listens to Dustin and drinks his soda. She's rubbing her good hand back and forth on her leg, like she had rubbed it on the picnic table out in the woods. Eddie is not sure what that's about, but it's definitely something. She looks... well, she's Chrissy, so she looks great. He's never seen her with her hair down before. It's really nice. But she's in pain, and she's terrified.
And this is, yeah, a lot.
And that's on top of her seriously fucked up arm, which they still haven't properly addressed.
When the cavalry showed up, Steve said something about lifeguard training and made a sling out of Robin's jacket.
Eddie had planned to make a sling. He'd thought about it right after Max got the radio out, because that's what you do with broken arms, right? There was a button-up flannel on his floor that would have worked great. But Chrissy hadn't wanted to let go of him, and he wasn't going to pry her off. He'd considered bridal carrying her into his room to get the shirt, but Max had been giving him one hell of a stink eye for even rubbing Chrissy's back. And, well, Eddie wanted to live, you know? And then Dustin and the gang arrived.
Robin had gently uncurled Chrissy's fingers from where they'd wrinkled Eddie's shirt and sat her down on the couch, leaving Eddie to retreat to the kitchen to grab the first aid kit and a can of soda, while Steve made a sling and saved the day. For all his DM bluster, Eddie can't actually do much about alternate dimensions and monsters from the manual. He knows real life doesn't break down into neat alignment charts, and that actual people don't have hit points. But if it did, Eddie likes to think of himself as a chaotic good person. And Chrissy looks like she's down to her last HP. Eddie does not have a badass sword or a healing potion or anything like that. He just has a van and a decent sense of right and wrong. Letting Chrissy sit in his living room in pain this long when he has the power to do something about it is feeling more and more like an evil act. He didn't give her any drugs. He can get her to the hospital.
Eddie finishes the soda as Dustin's explanation of the world beneath Hawkins winds down.
It's a curse, Eddie says.
Vecna's curse, Dustin gasps, a little breathless.
He'd offered to do the bandage on Eddie's hand because he's a softie like that. The bandage was nice and tight, and Eddie wondered if maybe Steve had passed on some of that lifeguard training to the kid.
So we're dealing with a spellcaster, Eddie breathes, looking over at Chrissy again.
A dark wizard, Dustin agrees. He seems relieved that Eddie's following his line of thinking.
So you believe us?
I saw her fucking levitate.
Eddie starts to crush the soda can in his fist without really thinking about it.
I couldn't get her off the ceiling. Her arm, man. It... fucking...
He can't crumple the can any further, but his fist won't unlock from around it.
It makes the cut on his hand sting.
Dustin lays a hesitant hand on Eddie's shoulder, and Eddie jumps. It's a little embarrassing, but Eddie tenses and then lets it all out with a sigh.
Yeah, dude. I'll believe pretty much anything right now.
The crunch of the can hitting the trash bin makes the girls on the couch look over at him in surprise. Steve leans back to slouch against the wall, and Robin crosses her arms.
So, Eddie says, walking into the living room and stopping in front of the sofa.
Hospital.
Chrissy meets his eyes again.
Big and beautiful, and staring straight into his soul.
Eddie's stupid heart flips.
I'll take her, Steve says from the wall.
We know each other, right, Cunningham? It won't be weird if she's with me.
The insinuation that it would be weird for Eddie and Chrissy to be together shouldn't sting, but it does.
And he shouldn't feel whatever he's feeling, bad, sick, about Steve sweeping in to be the hero and save the princess. It's the role Steve was made for. This wasn't actually Eddie's quest, after all. As the DM, he just writes the quests, or he's an NPC. He's not the hero.
Those moments with Chrissy were an accident, maybe. A one shot, not a campaign.
That makes sense.
It still hurts, though.
Steve can just drop me off at the ER, Chrissy says, looking from Steve to Eddie. I'll say I, left the game and don't know what happened. Max shakes her head.
Not gonna work. I saw you come into Eddie's place. In his van. If I saw you, someone else could have seen you too. If you say you don't know what happened, someone might think Eddie, Robin trails off suggestively. And Eddie's heart sinks. So, it's not enough that Steve gets to be the hero. Eddie will play the villain. The freak.
No! Even propelled by the force of her denial, Chrissy can't quite manage to get up from the couch on her own. Steve, Robin, and Dustin all move to steady her, but she just leans forward and grabs Eddie's outstretched arm, letting him pull her up. She leans against him, just a little, while she stands. She takes a breath and blows it out through her bangs, then turns, facing the others, so her back is against his chest.
We can't let Eddie get in trouble for this.
She's put her body between him and them, like she's protecting him, which, well, she is. He appreciates that because this could all get bad fast if someone gets the wrong idea. Hunt the freak, kind of bad.
We can be Eddie's alibi, Dustin puts in. We can say we were hanging out after Hellfire and Chrissy needed a ride.
Chrissy perks up a bit at that.
There was a party at Benny's.
She looks up over her shoulder at him, and her lips shift into the smallest smile.
I can say I asked you to give me a ride.
Ever gallant, Dustin adds.
And Eddie would normally want to snap at the kid, but Chrissy is still looking up at him. It's making his chest tight, and his mouth goes dry.
And he dropped her off at the party, and then he drove me home, Max cuts in. Because I'm a taxi service now, huh?
Eddie retorts.
Steve rolls his eyes. Welcome to the club.
Chrissy ignores them both. And then Steve found me. We found you, says Robin. The more of us who say it, the more believable we can make it.
What, she was just lying on the side of the road?
Max asks, chin jutted out and eyebrows down, like they're stupid, which they are. There's no way anyone would believe she got hit by a car. She'd need, like, scrapes and cuts and stuff. Gravel.
Do you have a better idea, then? Dustin snaps.
No one does. Chrissy leans back harder against Eddie's chest. He touches her good arm to steady her as she speaks.
So, Eddie drops me off at the party, but I never made it there because no one will have seen me. And then I got this headache. Everyone will believe that. I've been talking about my headaches for a few days. And then I woke up, and my arm was all broken. And Steve and Robin, you were
getting you into the car, Robin finishes. And then we drove you straight to the hospital.
And we've been here with Eddie the whole time, Dustin says.
Which gives him an alibi for if anyone accuses him of anything, Max adds.
Then they're all looking at Eddie like they want him to say something. Saying things is what Eddie is usually good at, but Chrissy is leaning on him harder now. What started as a pleasant wait has turned into a concern, because Eddie's not sure she can hold herself up much longer.
Sure, he says, looking down into her entrancing blue eyes.
Then, when no one moves, he executes the Herculean labor of breaking Chrissy's gaze and makes shooing gestures at the rest of them. Fine, let's get the show on the road.
Dustin and Steve tumble out the door to make room in Steve's car. Robin and Max come over to help Chrissy out, But she pauses and looks up at Eddie before smiling weakly at the girls. Will you give me just a sec with Eddie, please? Max rolls her eyes so hard at them that they go fully white. And a terrible flash of Chrissy, eyes fluttering, ripples back through Eddie's memory. Then everyone else is outside. And it's just Eddie and Chrissy again. She turns to face him again, at the same time he makes to step forward. She catches his arm, runs her hand down his sleeve, to where his pulse is banging away in his wrist. They are so close. They would be nose to nose if she were taller. As it is, he could lean forward and rest his chin on her head, tuck her back into his embrace. She takes his hand in hers. Her fingers are cool and smooth against his rings, and she is so beautiful, even bloody-nosed and broken, that Eddie wonders if they haven't fallen into some other alternate dimension, one where freaks and cheerleaders hold hands all the time, no big deal. There's this sad little smile on her two pale lips as she squeezes his fingers. Thank you, she whispers. He squeezes back. This feels real. Weird real. Nice weird. Nice real? For what? For everything. I'm so sorry, Eddie. If I'd known this would have happened... Tears shine in her eyes, and Eddie's heart lurches again. Hey, he says, trying to keep his tone light. It's cool. This has been one of the most, interesting nights. Without letting go of her hand, he pats his back pockets, but his bandana isn't there. It's okay. Stop it. Her usually soft voice is sharp. It's not okay. You've been so nice, and I should never have asked you... They've got about a minute and a half before Harrington comes back to save the day again. Chrissy is looking at Eddie like he's a hero, someone worthy of her time and protection, but that's not how things are. He didn't save her. He got scared and fell over and knocked the radio onto the floor, that's all. Still, if it keeps her looking at him like that... Eddie thinks maybe he could try the hero thing. He realizes, then, that he wants this quest. He doesn't want his part in it to end here, in the living room that still kind of smells like vomit, even after whatever the hair did to the carpet. Eddie wants to try. You stop, he says, brushing a falling tear away with a silver-ringed knuckle. I'm glad you asked me. What? Eddie's never been good at standing still. He wants to move, to spit on his heel and gesticulate. But she's still holding his hand, and she hasn't stepped out of his personal space, so he doesn't. I'm not so crazy about the whole alternate dimension thing, the you being tormented by psychotic visions of spiders and clocks and inside-out creeps who pretend to be your mom thing. She looks stricken, and he wants to make her laugh. He points directly at her nose. And I am revoking your floating privileges, young lady. It works. She throws her head back and lets that big, unselfconscious laugh that wrinkles her nose ring out. Then she winces, and Eddie feels kind of like a dick because that hurt her. But she's smiling again when she looks back at him. Those big eyes, man, they're gonna kill him. He ducks his head, almost hiding from her power. But, like, I'm a... honored or whatever that you came to me for, like, help. You're crazy. He hears the grin when she says it. Yeah,
he says. And when he looks back at her, those eyes are so big and wide that Eddie thinks they'll eat him up whole.
But so are you, I think. And that's metal as hell.